we begin with a story of bikes and brotherhood, of bars and crime, the lesser-known world of motorcycle clubs that gained national attention, of course, this week in Waco, Texas, when rival biker gangs broke out into terrible violence and gunfire in a shopping plaza. The confrontation left 9 people dead and 18 others wounded. 5 gangs were involved in the brawl, but the Cossacks and the Bandidos seem to have originated the dispute. 170 people are now facing charges from organized crime to assault to murder. Edward Winterhalder is an author, a bike culture expert, and a former bandito himself. And he says the crime that occurs in motorcycle clubs is less organized than you might think.
I know exactly what sparked this particular altercation. There's got to be a little bit of explanation to start with about the patch that the guys wear on their back of their vest. On the top rocker is usually the name of the organization. The center patch is typically the logo, the club's logo. And then the bottom rocker usually designates the geographic territory in which they live. In this particular case, the Bandidos for years, decades, have been one of the few clubs in Texas to wear a Texas bottom rocker. And they didn't, or haven't for a long time, allowed any other clubs to wear the Texas bottom rocker. And last year, the Cossacks decided that they were going to wear a Texas bottom rocker, and the Bandidos told them that wasn't going to happen, and the Cossacks told the Bandidos that they didn't care what they think, that they were going to do it anyway.
And this dispute over the bottom rocker on the backs of their leather vests wound up with 9 people dead.
Well, this has been building for about a year, maybe a little bit more. There had been minor skirmishes. There was a stabbing in Abilene or Odessa last year in March, I think, between the Bandidos and the Cossacks. And the bad blood has been brewing for quite a while.
Edward Winterhalder, you know, it's a little bit surprising to hear this level of violence over essentially logos on a jacket. There's a cliche, I'm afraid, that in criminal gangs, you know, blood is expensive. You don't resort to violence unless there's a lot of money at stake. And when I first heard about this, I assumed it was a drug dispute or something that had to do with money. And you're saying that's not the case.
No, absolutely not. And that's typically not what things are about in the motorcycle club world. The best analogy I can give you is going back to first grade when you were on the playground. There was a couple of bullies there, and they didn't get along very well, and they didn't play in the same spot on the playground. And if they did, there was usually a fight. And that's very similar to this situation. To add fuel to the fire is the fact that some of the guys in the clubs are methamphetamine addicts. They're unstable. You can't control them. And they really have no conception of what reality is. So when a couple of meth addicts from 2 different organizations meet that are disputing a bottom rocker, then you have an instantaneous fight. Because of the brotherhood and the camaraderie that's present in the motorcycle club world, very similar to what you'd find in a fraternity or in the military, then people stick up for their own. So if you see one of your brothers get stabbed, then you want to shoot the guy that stabbed your brother.
That also suggests, even though law enforcement is heavily involved now and the national media is talking about this, that this violent confrontation might not be over.
I think it's over temporarily, but in the future the two clubs will run into each other again in different places, and it will continue is my guess. What I expect to see happen is the federal law enforcement authorities, this event will now cause them to microscopically examine certain clubs in the United States, and Department of Justice, FBI, ATF, and assortment of other agencies will probably do whatever they can, use whatever tool they have in their tool bag to prevent this kind of thing from happening again.
Well, Edward Winterhalder, what was it like for you when you were a member of the Bandidos? You're still here, so clearly you didn't wind up in the same fate as 9 of the other bikers from the Bandidos and the Cossacks in Texas. What was it like for you?
For me, I was on the other side of the coin. And again, some background. 60 to 70% of the guys that are in motorcycle clubs are regular guys. They have jobs, families, kids. They go to work each day. The only thing they're guilty of is having too much fun on the weekends. So for me, that's the side of the club that I was in on. I ran a multi-million-dollar construction management company while I was a Bandido. I was a single dad with custody. So each day for me, I would get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, get her off to daycare and school, and go off to work. Just about everybody in my chapter was the same way. You know, there are some guys present that commit crimes, but typically they don't brag about it. It's not like the mafia where they have to report to the boss and give him a piece of the money. We actually had a meth guy in our chapter we didn't know anything about until he got busted for selling meth. Had no idea.
So these are not fundamentally criminal gangs that ride motorcycles, in other words?
No, it's more disorganized crime than it is organized. And the motorcycle clubs are very forgiving, so they accept people for who they are and what they are. I think you'll see mass federal indictments of these two organizations and a bunch more. And I think that they will wipe out the leadership of the club, forcing it to take a different path.
Edward Winterhalder, former Bandido Motorcycle Club member, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, for more on the business and the scale of these motorcycle clubs, we turn now to Charles Falco. He's author of Vagos, Mongols, and Outlaws, My Infiltration of America's Deadliest Biker Gangs. Charles, welcome.
Thank you, Todd.
You spent a career contracting with law enforcement, infiltrating biker gangs like the Bandidos. Well, you just heard Edward Winterhalder there. He says that law enforcement wants people to believe that motorcycle clubs are all criminals, basically, but that these are not fundamentally criminal enterprises in reality, but the majority are regular guys with jobs and families. Is that your experience?
No. I mean, I agreed with 90% of what he said, except for the part where you have innocent members of these motorcycle gangs. There's a big difference between motorcycle clubs and motorcycle gangs. The Bandidos are a motorcycle gang. The Cossacks are a motorcycle gang. If you're in one of these gangs, even if you have a regular job, a family, a wife, and kids, you still know that you have to be willing to kill, maim, seriously hurt, or perpetrate other acts of violence to protect your territory. So all members, when they go through the prospecting period, know that they have to be willing to do anything to back up their brothers, their territory, and their colors, just like the Crips, the Bloods, MS-13, or any of the other street gangs. So they mimic those. And I wouldn't say they're unorganized. I'd say they're unorganized in crimes like, you know, drug dealing and some of the other things you think about when you think about organized crime organizations. But when it comes to war and violence and fighting over their territory, they're 100 times more sophisticated than other street gangs. They have a military style structure. And they're just very sophisticated at warring with each other. They'll keep files. They'll do counter surveillance and surveillance against enemy combatants or enemy biker gangs. So they'll know where they live, where they work, what time they go to work, you know, where they hang out, who their girlfriends are, who their wife and family are. So they're very sophisticated when it comes to war. When committing other criminal acts, they are not as organized.
Okay, so let's leave aside then, of course, the thousands of people who are in motorcycle clubs because they like to ride on the weekends. Those apparently are not much of a concern. How many people would you estimate, how many gangs are we talking about across the United States that are a serious threat, a serious criminal enterprise?
There's probably, you know, 25 to 45 motorcycle gangs. There's about 10 big ones, and then the rest are more small, minor motorcycle gangs. Probably, if I had to estimate total membership, somewhere between 5,000 and 8,000. And those are your hardcore motorcycle gang members. And then you have, you know, 500,000 other active bikers that have nothing to do with that world. If you want to be a 9-to-5 guy who just likes to ride and party and stuff like that, you don't become part of an outlaw motorcycle gang. You know, when you join them, that you're bullies of that world, that you have to participate in violence to protect your territory.
Edward Winterhalder told us to expect a lot of federal law enforcement micromanagement of gangs now, and that reminded me of you and the kind of undercover infiltration work that you did. Do you expect that? Do you expect ATF or the FBI or whoever it is to get more Charles Falcos into these gangs to try to prevent the kind of violence that now all of a sudden we're all talking about.
Oh, yes. I think you'll see a big jump in them prosecuting these biker gangs. I think you'll see legislation change in some of these states. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of these states make it harder for gang members to get concealed weapons permits, which I think is part of the problem of why there were so many deaths in this shootout in Texas, is that these biker gangs in states where you're allowed to have concealed weapons, the leadership has ordered members to get a concealed weapons permit if they're not felons. That way they're always armed to protect themselves from other biker gangs and to be proactive in incidents like this one that happened on Sunday.
And at the same time, this incident on Sunday, as we just heard, you know, doesn't appear to be about drug turf or criminal activities. It was a dispute over colors and rockers on jackets. And that sounds like that kind of thing is really hard to prevent.
Yeah, and it's really crazy because if you look at biker gangs throughout the rest of the world, they're fighting for territory, but drug territory or prostitution territory, something that has more of an evil, logical sense to it. But these guys, and especially in the United States, they just fight over territory just to fight. We just call them, you know, when I was infiltrating the outlaws, you know, they just said we're men of war. Mm-hmm. And that's what they like to do.
Charles Falco is author of Vagos, Mongols, and Outlaws, My Infiltration of America's Deadliest Biker Gangs. Charles Falco, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.